selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's the ladies. Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets, we won't talk. Celebrity Book Club. No boys are allowed. Celebrity Book Club. Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend!
What's up, motherfucker?
Hey, what up, you sexy homosexual who I would love to suck the ever-living gum out of?
I would love to jack off with you in the back of a school bus. Not in a gay way, just in a broing the fuck down way.
You know what I also like to do? I would like to hump sharks with you also in a completely heterosexual way with
I literally
you.
Just want to roll around naked in a diaper with you because that's what friendship is about. My dude, how art thou on this crazy Monday?
No, this freaking crazy Monday, and we're entering the freaking holiday season.
I'm really stressed. I'm about to go to Vermont to see my familia.
You're about to head into traffic. So when are you leaving?
Tomorrow. We're going to try and leave at noon, aka 3 p.m.
We're going to try to beat the traffic. My husband, he's going to pick me up after work.
And his Hyundai Elantra.
And I know it's going to be hell, but look, we're going to try. Okay. All you can do is try. And I just said, let God take care of it all.
It's a little bit just like, okay, and welcome to 6 days trapped with my whole family in a small condo. But you know what? We can do it because we can do hard things. Anyway, I'm nervous about that. And then sidebar, I am recently poor and just like don't have a job and not making any money. Please sign up for Patreon. And so I'm trying to sell all of my like designer clothes that I've accrued over the years. So I've been DMing with store James Valoria.
Ruby, former guest, Ruby McCollister.
Former McCollister.
General, I'm DMing with General McCollister.
General McC over there at James V. And I'm like DMing with the gay guys who work there. And I'm just being like, can you take like these stuff? And I was trying to like sell this Echoes blazer. Not that I don't love it. I just don't wear it that often.
Of course,
often.
Totally.
And they were like, we actually can't buy that because, like, the Echoslada store is right next to us.
Oh,
and it's,
that
like, awkward.
Blazer. That blazer's cute.
And I'll reveal in next week's VIP lunch how much money I make at James Valoria selling my many clothes.
Before we get into our book, I qualified and was approved for an online focus group about vodka tomorrow.
Shut the fuck up.
From a company called YIQ.
The day before Thanksgiving, you're doing a vodka focus group. And tasting almost like poison-ass fake vodka.
Well, I'm so confused because in my day, I would go to an office, okay? And they would show me in a group of like nurses advertisements. But this is just going to be like on Zoom.
Like, oh,
I know. I'm
Wait,
not
so you're
going...
not even
going
to be tasting the vodka? Are they sending you nips in the mail?
No, I wish. I know I get like...
Oh, this is so sad. They're just going to be like, does this appeal to you? And you're watching something like live stream?
I'm sure I'm gonna be like watching a blurry, deep water eddy ad. Because I had to fill this questionnaire that was like, do you buy deep eddy vodka once a month, three times a week, once every 6 months?
Sidebar the other night. At my home bar, I made a garlic and pepper martini.
Okay, that's so Russian vodka room.
It was a Russian vodka room, and I'll reveal how it tasted in the VIP lounge.
Okay, we're giving so much
VIP. We have to get
and
to
you
the
know
book.
Why we're doing that? Because we're trying to get you over there. Because Stephen is out here on the corner hawking clothes.
Literally hawking wares.
I'm doing a...
doing focus groups.
For
we
vodka.
Desperately need literally any cash flow. Please sign up for our Patreon.
Okay. Someone who also desperately needs cash flow is a motherfucking crazy dude.
A rock star, legend.
Stunt master, one of the craziest motherfuckers on this planet. Steve-O.
Steve-O. You know him from Jackass. You know him from MTV. You know him from Wild Boys, the Jackass. Jackass spinoff and all the Jackass movies.
Jackass 1, Jackass 2, Jackass 3, Jackass Uncensored.
Just a real wild antics
and crazy guy.
And we read his book, Professional Idiot.
Fuck yes.
Okay, so Lily, we have to start this episode off.
With some real Jack. I mean, this is so like...
This is the most normal thing we could possibly do. We're about to shotgun two beers.
So,
or one beer each.
One beer each.
So, okay, is shotgunning, do you have to stab it, or can you just shotgun it by opening it?
No. So, opening it is, which is probably, it's just chugging it. Shotgunning is when
you stab the side.
Open and stab and suck it from the side.
Oh, but the thing is,
we do respect ours in the whisper room.
We are in the whisper room, and I don't want to get it sticky. And ultimately, like, Jackass, the 35 plus years, is about just chugging a beer and not.
Okay,
so can you do this, you pussy?
Okay.
Can you actually fucking chug an entire beer?
Oh, yeah, I think I do. Do you want to get in all fours and ask for a dick to be entered inside of you? Or do you also want to chug the beer?
No, I want to chug. I mean, I'll just be interested to see that
it
tiny
seems
mouth
like you're
suck
talking,
all that beer.
You're talking a lot because you're afraid.
No, I'm not.
You're afraid to suck a bag of dicks.
Okay, no, watch me suck this bag of dicks.
Okay, one, two, three.
Oh, fuck.
The bubbles are hurting my tongue. They're so strong.
Ah! Okay, I'm more than halfway.
It's not even that I can't keep it out. You know what I mean? Like, the bubbles on the tongue, they get strong.
Okay.
Oh, Steven's a baby. He needs to be put in a diaper.
Shut up. I feel nauseous. How much is in your fucking beer? Let me feel it. Oh my god. This is like 65% full, you faggot. Don't make fun of me, you little bitch. Shove this beer
Steven
down your
did
tiny
actually
mouth. Hi, yeah, this is the pussy department. This is Lily speaking. Yes, I'm the chief officer of being a pussy. How are you? How can we do you for today?
I have a small mouth.
Oh, we know. All right, well, I'm done because I'm actually a badass.
Okay. Do you want to do our next trip?
This is literally still 60% full. You took one more sip. All right, it's cool.
Okay, let's talk, I guess.
No, let's talk about the book. Let's talk about the book. So,
anyway,
listen, so you know who's not a pussy is Steve-O.
Steve-O is not a pussy.
This book, actually, let me just say this. This book is good. This book is, like, not quite as good as the MyPillow book, but it's kind of, like, up there in terms of, like, just sheer amount of shit that's packed in.
I will say I was laughing harder than the MyPillow book at this book.
Yeah. The MyPillow guy is so insane.
Right. It's not a comedy, and Steve-O's a comedian.
This is more of, this is more of a comedy, and he's more just like, I don't know. It's also just so funny that he grew up rich Like, so the book starts out and you just, like, keep reading and you're like, wait, you're like, Foley grew up so rich. And
I was gonna, like, at first when I, like, second page, he's like, yeah, so my dad was the head marketing executive of Pepsi. So we moved to London. Pepsi International.
For Pepsi Europe. He's living in, like, London. Then he's like, and then we moved back to Toronto for 4 years, but then we moved back to London for 5 more years.
And then we moved to Nairobi because my dad became head of Nabisco International. Like, and he had to oversee, like, the pineapple farm, and actually the conditions were really bad.
To the pineapple plantation in Kenya. And he's just asking his dad. He's like, I don't know, it smelled really bad. It looked like the conditions were bad. And the dad was just
like, shut up. Okay.
He was like, literally shut up. He was like, if we fire someone, like, someone else will be desperate to work there tomorrow. And he's like, and that's how I learned about economics.
No, he's like, and that was a lesson and then I took all the way through my life. Because then it's like, he is at Jackass making no money. And he's like, you know what? Someone else would have done this.
Yeah, someone else would have. The thing is, no one else would have done the shit that he was doing because he was.
So here's the thing about Steve-O. Like, he didn't just, like, oh, all of a sudden at 20, like, decide, like, oh, yeah, I'm just a skater and I want to do crazy tricks and I want to, like, no. He has been, like, a stuntman basically since birth. I mean, clearly, to get the attention of his father.
Can we talk about something? Okay, so this book has, the whole book from the very beginning, he talks about how he's just, like, really annoying and obnoxious and desperate for attention all the time. And everything that he does is, like, this incredibly calculated, obnoxious way to get people to look at him. And it's like, there's almost this trend, I feel like, in memoir culture where it's like, you have to self-pathologize from, like, the beginning of the book.
You have to, because you're like, this is my memoir. And he's been writing this book, like, out of order, kind of. He's, like, started writing it in one of his times in prison. So
yeah, it's very, like, it starts out with this, like, letter from a Birmingham jail.
Yeah, and he's being so, like, I'm writing this from a fucking cell right now.
And, like, I hope to one day be famous. But wait, can we just go back a second for his rich upbringing? So there's a page where he describes his insanely richy rich setup at the London townhouse when they moved to the 5-story townhouse. I had quite the setup. The basement was originally designed to be the servants' quarters. So in addition to a large bedroom and a bathroom, there was also a kitchen, a laundry room, and a second bedroom that had been converted into a game room with a pool table. I had my own phone line down there and also my own separate door to the outside. So I really had to see the rest of my family only when it suited me. I'm like...
So he has this full
apartment,
like,
with pool table.
Blank check, like, fridge. You know, there's so many fridges full of Pepsi that he's chugging.
Yeah.
And he's
and
like,
other
oh,
Pepsi products.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper.
And just like Frito-Lay or whatever. Like
Frito. I wonder if the merger happened by then.
Right.
So his father is like Mr. International. His mother is like taking to the bottle because she's also being ignored because his dad is on so many business trips. And then, of course, his sister is like Mrs. Do-Gooder who wants to work for the FBI.
And then
could she be more older sister?
Sure. I mean, she defines older sister. Not that that's like such a profound statement on my part, but it's like, you're right. She's so older because she's just like,
she's always like,
more tense. She's more professional. She has to take care of everyone when mom was drunk.
Like, getting her A's, wanting to be in the FBI. And then, as like, later on, she's always like a journalist and she's always working for like the Fort Lauderdale Centennial.
Yeah, the Centennial. I did have this feeling, like, not to be so, like, long COVID POTS girl, but I was just like, I'm starting to get traumatized by reading a memoir every week about
someone who's been traumatized. Someone's with, like, a drunk.
With, like, all the alcoholism in all these books. And, like,
I know.
Every single book is someone just like, and then, like, everyone had a stroke at 52 because they were a lifelong alcoholic.
No, he's like, and my mom had a brain aneurysm. And, like, we're turning her for bed sores. And we're in the hospital. And her husband is like, that was, I mean, whatever, skipping it. I'll just say this part that was like, so like, I don't need to read this anymore, where it's like, and my evil stepdad would punish my mother who's in a coma and like have her diaper
not
get changed.
Change the diaper and because like, he was like mad at her for like gurgling at him in the wrong way.
And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was the chapter he was like, this isn't funny, but you need to read this.
Yeah,
like, this is about my mom's aneurysm.
Well,
no, and it's important. Elder abuse is rife. And like, but then the sister, Cindy, was being so, no.
I'm taking care of
you're
mom.
Not, because he was being like, let's get married. The evil stepdad at this
point.
Yeah, and she was
like,
you're
not getting.
And you know, I liked that Cindy put her foot down.
She put her foot down. Yeah. Absolutely. But
although I'm wondering how much money the mom had, because was she getting alimony from Pepsi Dad?
Definitely. I'm sure Pepsi Dad felt guilty and was sending her so much money. It's very clearly Pepsi Dad because back to Steve's childhood.
It all comes back to the father.
Yeah.
I mean, hello, hi, Freud. It's just
This is the most like psychology 101 book. He's like, let me light myself on fire so my dad will pay attention to me. And maybe dad will stay home if I dunk myself, roll myself in elephant shit.
Yeah.
And then again, light myself on fire. But also, Steve-O was born definitely with something. They like going
a
on.
Screw loose. Honey, it's nature and nurture.
They tested him, his heart rate when he was young, and they were like, your heart's beating like three times as fast as the normal human.
No. You have it reversed. This is so you, because this was when he did that medical study when he was in Austin, and they were like, your heart is actually beating like slower than everyone else. So you can go on this insane drug. He was like, they paid you like according to risk, and it was pretty risky. So we each got $2,000 to do this study about a drug that had only been tested on animals that was like supposed to like make your heart beat like so fast like you could have a heart attack. And he was like, and it never like beat that fast for me because my heart's like weirdly like powerful and slow.
Right. Okay.
And then he gets robbed by his like fellow testees
in like a medical testing room. Medical testing is something I have not done. Done tons of focus groups, but not medical testing.
You know what Chase was telling me, my boyfriend, for listeners who aren't familiar.
Yeah.
He is actually done so much medical testing. He did something where it was like for people to learn how to do MRIs. And so he would go and have some like Ukrainian guy like give him an MRI every week.
What?
Isn't that insane?
That's so bad for you. That's insane.
Isn't that iconic?
Wow. And he would like get in the thing and.
My boyfriend's so punk.
My boyfriend's so crazy. Just to give a little of my personal jackass history as we get into this, you know, I loved the franchise. You know, I love Jackass and it came up. And Johnny Knoxville was my beard in, you know, middle school, freshman year of high school. People said, Lily,
who do you have a crush on?
Who do you have a crush on? And I say, oh, that hot guy on MTV, Johnny Knoxville. And I bought a Johnny Knoxville pin at Newbery Comics and I put it on my backpack. So
pretty cool. And you were like, yeah, I want to fuck and marry him.
Yeah, definitely marry him. And if you have the, you know, I never did a you know, such a Steve-O jumping off a building, but few of the things I did, I mean, chugging coffee grounds and vodka kind of and filming now with a few of my rascal friends in high school.
Did it like work?
Like get like drunk, and I mean I think it was just like generally gross.
Wait, well, I have this memory of like Hamilton like throwing up coffee beans in the sink.
Yeah, I think we all chugged like ground coffee in vodka.
I like can see this image of like coffee grounds in the sink.
And then I feel like just like me, Hamilton, and Sam Rose, and like we're always just like filming each other, and mostly usually just involved me getting dirty somehow. Like I remember like climbing just like a construction mountain of dirt, like already wet, and then like being burrowed in it.
Remember when they put cat food in your pasta?
And that was Sam and Kelly of the band Wet, which I'll call out. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, Sam Rosen at Sam Buck. he was living with me and my mother at the time in high school. And I came home from a hard day at CSW. And and he said, Lily, I made pasta. And it was a meat sauce. And I start eating it. And I'm like, ooh, yum. And then I'm like, something doesn't taste right.
Mm.
And they started.
But you kept eating.
And they kept eating, and then they start giggling hard, and they do reveal that there was cat vittles in the meat sauce. Now, inspired by that story, I brought us some cat treats.
I'll eat it right now.
So me and Steven are going to eat some cat treats in honor of Steve-O.
Let me just say, this is a very tiny treat. It's in the shape of a goldfish.
But and it's specifically for dental health for cats.
It's really small. It's a little dusty. Kind of has it's giving pebble-like visual appearance. Kind of a dark gray brown.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's go. Let's cheers.
Cheers, bitch.
Cheers.
You know what? Honestly.
Does it taste like much?
It kind of tastes like a weird cracker that like one of my parents' friends is having at a holiday party.
That like, are like left there and there's like a big tray, entertaining tray.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like...
A little umami bonito flake.
Yeah, it's kind of actually giving seaweed a little bit.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a little bit of a fishy cracker.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wash it down with
some of the lot of beer that you have to drink left.
The fishiness is staying. So
you were pretty inspired by Jackass. Like, you were really...
I was, like, very into it. Like, so saw the movie in theaters, like, pacing myself laughing. Not as much as Steve-O is... pisses so much in this book, and it's so funny.
He pisses in the stairwell of a police station when they're like trying to be nice to him. He's like, maybe it's in London when he's like in the drunk tank and like they're trying to be like, mate, like you gotta go, like get out of here, and it's like 5 a.m and he was just like, I'm gonna piss in this stairwell. It's just like, you're fucking crazy. He pisses at the
red carpet of Jackass 2, and he's with his dad.
But he's at
sister,
that point, he's really
he's like so wasted.
Acknowledging the fact that he's like, I wish I could say that. I found those parts to be very vulnerable, where he's like, I wish I could say that I just did it because I was drunk, but I did it like literally in a pathological way to get attention. In the same way he did it when he was like in a hot tub at Tao with like Paris Hilton. And he was like, I thought that like then the girls wouldn't have to be in the hot tub anymore and like be so objectified as women, because
he was always,
it was
like,
now officially
saving
gross.
Saving women by like doing something nasty. Well, also the pissing thing at the Jackass premiere was sad because he was like, I know I'll never be this famous. Like, this is my height, being in Jackass 2. So I'm essentially pissing on the red carpet, like, pissing the rest of my fame away. He was like, I know I just have more random kind of, like, spinoffs with Dr. Drew after this.
This is what he's so punk about him. Okay, I spent the night before my high school graduation in the drunk tank. I'd gotten hammered and was walking out of the pub holding a pint glass. And as I reeled back my arm to throw the pint glass at the pub just because. He's just being like, I'm just going to hurl this glass at the pub. One of my friends pointed out that there was a cop right there. And then I threw the glass anyway. As you expect, I got arrested. They locked me up till 5 o'clock in the morning, at which point they sent me home. All I needed to do was walk down the short flight of stairs and out of the police station, but I was still completely wasted. Halfway down the steps, I stopped, whipped out my dick, and pissed all over the staircase.
Another time, he has a girlfriend. He goes home to her Staten Island home, and she has a waterbed.
They
wake up, and they think it's the waterbed leaking, but it's like, no, he pissed the bed. And then he's like, he can't stop, and she's like, ew. So then he like is dragging the waterbed, like
he takes the comforter and tries to stuff it into the like washer at this like girl's parents' house
instead.
And this is, by the way, when he's already been kicked out of View of Miami, and he's just like,
for like also jumping off like too many buildings.
So then he tries to stuff it into the washing machine, but like breaks the washing machine trying to stuff it in, and then just stops halfway, passes out on the floor,
pisses more.
Mom wakes up and there's a piss out comforter half in a washing machine that's now broken, and this like her daughter's deadbeat boyfriend asleep.
And they still, I mean, this goes to his charm.
And then the dad tries to get him a job at like a landscaping company, and then he loses that job because he shows up hungover. It's like,
and they still like let him stay for the entire summer. They're like, well, he's charming.
God gave me the confidence of a white man.
No, the privilege.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I went and I pissed on your parents' waterbed,
the way they would absolutely still try and get you a landscaping job.
They would. Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc? ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
People are always catching him where he's just like needle in his toes, like mid jerking off, butt asleep, like underwear.
He pulls out a tooth to impress a girl in class once. Like when this is what you're saying about how it's just like he's always been this person where he just like weirdly manifested this career where he just was doing stupid shit all the time.
Yeah, and he was
And then they somehow made a show about it. But, like, he was in class. He was like, I bet I can, like, get out of this class, like, to some random girl. And she was like, how? He was like, by making my tooth fall out. And then he just yanks a tooth out and starts bleeding everywhere. And they send him to the doctor.
And then, like, with the, like, swimming and stuff, he's like, oh, you know what? Like, I got really into doing, like, crazy flips.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, learns how to, like, be a crazy diver.
And, you know, so a lot of this then, so this overlaps with skateboarding culture, and he's like doing skating, and then
which I really didn't know, his parents are like, you got to do something. He's dropped out of like to a University of Albuquerque, and he goes to the Ringling College.
He goes to Clown College,
which
and
is,
he gets in, and it's extremely selective.
It's harder to get into it than Harvard. It's free.
So then he goes to clown school. He learns how to juggle and walk on stilts. And then he ends up being very stilty on Jackass.
Very stilty.
And he eventually gets a job as a clown on a cruise ship.
Carnival
cruise. On a carnival cruise. But it sounds like he's being, like, so obnoxious. And, like, he's taking his job description to mean that he, like, wanders around the cruise ship, like, fucking with people.
Yeah, you know. He's always, like, saving up for stilts and then just, like, fucking with people in clown makeup. The time in this book, if I can find it, that I could not stop laughing. I don't know if he was in... He was like, I would just, like, bike around in clown makeup, like, hitting on random people. And then I would put chocolate pudding in my pants and run around Connecticut saying, sorry, can I use your bathroom?
In Darien. In Darien, Connecticut. Another Aryan from Darien.
Yeah.
Okay, but then he, of course, pathologizes that as well, and he's like, it was always because I wanted to be someone else. Like, I took my passport photo while wearing my football uniform when he was, like, 7 because, like, I always had to be a character.
Always had to be. So he goes to clown college.
He goes on this cruise ship, and then the other two clowns that recruited him, who were his, like, fellow alums from Barnum and Bailey School, like, hate him so much that they conspire to, like, get him fired.
So fucked up.
And so, like, they dock at, like, Miami or whatever.
They're like, you're fired.
Because this is, to me, what is also kind of So My Pillow Guy about this book, where it's like, there are just some lines in this where you're like, go all the way off. So once the Voyager was fully constructed, this was like the largest cruise ship ever built, the whole staff rode on and across the Atlantic, Florida, where I was officially informed of my dismissal. I left the boat with $9,000 in cash. I bought a 1991 Mercury Grand Marquis, stilts, juggling gear, and a plane ticket. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he just goes to California and just, like, continues to be a complete jackass.
Always on this, like, confidence tip. And even season 2 of Jackass, he's homeless.
Oh, another thing I love about this book is the quotes from people.
Oh, yeah. He has his sister, his dad. Like, he has his former agents who he's like, fuck them. They screwed me over by, like, putting their names on my life insurance policy. It's Johnny Knoxville. No, it's like...
And they come... So, and the way the book does it is, like, they're indented and they're just fully, like, in their own words. And I think this is, like, way more books should do this. I think it's, like, a really just brilliant formatting because he lets them speak for themselves. Obviously, it's, like, edited, but I'm like, I love that he's, like, talking shit about his sister or talking shit about himself, and then his sister comes in and just being like, yeah.
So Steve-O was completely insane at this point, and his emails, like, were so crazy, and, like, I would try to, like, get him committed, but I couldn't. But then they were also sweet, and the dad would just be like, you know what? I did fuck up at that time, and I should have been more around, and I did leave, and I was working for, like, Pepsi Nabisco for too long.
I mean, when he calls out the manager, when he's like, my managers were ultimately being shady and, like, wanted to take out a life insurance policy on me that they were, of which they would be the sole beneficiaries of.
And then they have a quote saying, like, you know what? Like, we were also 23 and yeah. That was crazy of us. And, like, the life insurance policy. So basically, they convince him to get a life insurance policy. And he says, only if you can make my, like, sister's, my niece, the soul.
Oh, okay, wait. This is what Dunlap says at that point. So when he, like, suddenly, like, the manager comes in with his quote, with his indentation. The life insurance policy meant nothing to me. It never did. The last thing I think about is to which Steve would die for a life insurance policy. To be honest, it was probably a really bad judgment to go down that path. But shit, I was 23 years old and going in as best I could. It's a little bit like, okay, so you kind of are basically admitting to being shady as
yeah, fuck. Super shady. I want to read one of his crazy stunts that he did here. By the way, his mother has had the brain aneurysm. She is home fully, like,
in a coma.
One day, we filled a baby pool with elephant crap that I'd spent a week collecting from the circus and putting into these huge Tupperware bins. So already that, he's going back every single day to
he's still working
collect-
the circus. I also love when he goes to the circus and, like, there's a quote from Knoxville just being like, we go find, when they very first meet him, and they're like, he's working at a circus in St. Petersburg, across the bay from Tampa. And they're just like, it was completely out of pocket and insane. There's coke everywhere in his dressing room, and he's, like, being a fully scary clown where, like, children are running to their moms at this, like, Russian-run circus where they're, like, torturing bears.
And he... Oh, and...
In Tampa Bay.
Sidebar also, like, Steve-O was like, that circus was awesome and did teach me a lot, but it was really fucked up to animals.
Oh, yeah.
And then... So then he writes an essay for PETA,
yes.
And then PETA... Sorry, fuck PETA for a second. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
And then PETA doesn't use his essay because they're like, we actually got another essay from someone that was, like, more respectful and better and well written. And then and he's like, you know what? Whatever. All I'm trying to say is, like,
no, and this is why I'm sorry, but, like, PETA is ultimately
it's still so 90s, full of elephant crap.
They're full of elephant crap because it's like PETA's not actually punk, and that's my issue with them. And that's always been my issue with them.
Wait, am I totally making this up? Has your mother, like, ever gotten paint thrown on her?
No, you're definitely thinking of just, like, a movie.
Okay. Of, like, a rich woman walking out of Macy's in a big mink.
I love the idea of my mother in her Nutria fur coat.
And they're like, rich bitch.
At Macy's in downtown
Boston. Downtown Boston.
No, that's never happened, but let's make it happen.
Okay, let's make it happen. Let me get back to this elephant crap story. My original plan had been to light my whole body on fire, then do a backflip off a ladder into the pile of crap, at which point I'd roll around and put out the flames. Tremaine knew MTV wouldn't approve any fire-related skits, because a kid lit himself on fire, like, after Jackass Season 1, legal battles. So he suggested skipping that part, doing a backflip into the elephant shit off a tall ladder would be enough. We filmed that one in the yard at my mom's house. And then he reveals that he didn't clean it up. His sister literally is taking care of their comatose mother.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And then there was a rainstorm the next day and
yeah.
All the elephant shit flooded into
the neighbor's yard.
No. And he said one of the producers had offered to clean it up, and he was like, oh, no, dude, you don't have to do that.
Because he's being so, I want to impress the guys and, like, not, like, spoil my chance to stay on this MTV show. So, like, don't worry about it. We just cover my mom's and my neighbor's yard in elephant shit. I mean, there are times when he's a little inconsiderate. So another time is, you know, when he's, like, taking care of that, like, dying veteran in London in his, like, high school years.
That really I screamed
that was so
loud
depressing.
During that.
And then he just kind of stops going one day, and like the 90-year-old guy's leaving so many messages being like, can you please come take me to my like doctor appointment?
He has a cataract surgery appointment.
And then he just goes, I don't know whatever happened to that guy. It's like, he died.
He died. That's
he
what
died,
happened.
Babe. He was 92 and needed surgery and he died.
He died that day.
He literally died because you didn't go.
And he was just like, delete, delete, delete.
Delete his like voicemails on his big 90s answering
yeah,
machine.
His big Richie Rich blank check. So, but at least he's admitting that.
No.
Sorry.
Sorry. He's
Demi Lovato's mom.
No, Demi Lovato's mom, who's not telling us the full truth. He is being very honest, mom.
I was kind of surprised by this a little bit. Like, he, you know, is very clear about how much he got paid for Jackass. Very low.
The first season, he got paid like $1,500 for the entire season.
Right, which they didn't know was going to happen to
but
that
then
show.
The second season gets $2,000 an episode, which is still astronomically low.
For what they're doing.
Yeah. And then, but then he's getting
then
more
they get, like,
it
more
sounds
money.
Like he's getting most of the money, though, from the live shows.
The tours.
And they were doing these, like, messy boots tours.
Insane tours where they were just, like, again, like, lighting each other on fire and doing flips, and like he was always like stapling his ass together.
And then like pulling out like a cobra snake, like on stage, like a insanely venomous cobra that could like kill everyone, and just like with not even a snake trainer. And, then, and he's like on coke, ketamine, pills,
drinking, like
insanely wasted. The time when he's like, oh, I don't want to do an IV of vodka, and he does like six shots via IV.
Oh,
and then
does he goes,
more shots?
And he's like, yeah, so then I'm on stilts, and I walk back into the hotel bar, and I get more Grey Goose to put in the IV.
He fucks a lot of girls. Okay, wait, can we talk about
let's talk about his and I was going to say him and Paris and Nicole.
Okay, I do want to get there, but hello, the scene when him and Pontius, so Chris Pontius, who he always calls Pontius.
Pontius.
Who he does Wild Boys, the spinoff where they like travel the globe, and it really taught him a lot about other cultures.
Right, he's like, whoa, like, it's really crazy. Like, I learned so much about the world.
Honestly, and it is beautiful.
And that was also for the era when Cameron Diaz had her show Trippin'.
And it was Anthony Bourdain, and it was about just like, you know,
colonialism.
But I do think there was such a fun, you know, what was great about that show, and about Jackass also, which I do think is an amazing show. But
which,
there's a real.
Did you ever watch?
I watched it today.
Oh, okay. For the first time?
No, I'd seen it, but I'd forgotten how, like...
Oh, did you watch it while getting fucked by a guy?
No, because I'm not gay, because that's gay. That
were you, like, scared to watch it, like, when we were in high school?
All right, back it all the way up.
No, it sounded like you were super
you're
scared.
You're literally, babe, you've already proven yourself to be the hugest poser. You can't even shotgun 40% of a beer.
Sorry, I have an abnormally small mouth, okay? That's because I've done too many tricks, and I've had to get surgery
to make
getting
your
my mouth,
mouth smaller.
Sucked in because it got too enlarged from sucking on elephant trunk.
It's a really good show, and it's like
pretty
it's
funny stuff.
It's raw, it's funny. Like you just get a sense of there's a sort of relentless positivity to it in its nihilism.
I love this. Actually, I feels very my mother right now. What you're saying, just watching Jackass of the Front, you're like, I mean, the positivity is beautiful. I mean, we have so much negativity these days. And, you know, the positivity of watching Jackass is, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful vision of, like, you know, nihilistic self-destructive masculinity that actually isn't self-destructive because it's about community and joy, I think, at the end of the day.
Mm.
And I think that, like, the show Wild Boys...
A.O. Scott has entered the building. The community aspect is so beautiful, and our boys today need that.
They desperately need it. They and, do. You know, we are so alienated as a society, and we are so
with
atomized.
Our video games.
Our phones.
Our phones
our
and video
phones.
Games. Okay, so the best part, one of my favorite parts about this book is Steve-O. Hold on. Thread needles later. is Steve-O talking about, like, obviously, like, all the jerking off they did together and how he was like, yeah, one of our challenges was how many times can you jerk off in a car with the most packed amount of guys in a car?
They're in the backseat. They're on a race from London to Russia, which, by the way, tell me how they drive from yeah. London to mainland
Europe.
And he's
like, yeah, I actually only came 4 times in, like, 4 days because, like, he's like, and I'm tugging at my dick constantly.
And him and Pontius are in the backseat just both jacking off
but
together.
But he's like, yeah, he's like, it's really actually hard to, like, come because, like, but then he basically says something beautiful, I thought.
What?
Where he's like, a lot of people like thought maybe like we were being homophobic, but actually so many teen boys of that age like were so uncomfortable about seeing guys hook up. So he's like, I actually think Jackass did more to fight homophobia than like any other show, because he was like, yeah, we were basically constantly hooking up on
yeah,
that show.
I agree. Well, then there is this scene though when he then kisses Chris's dick.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I know you've all wanted. Okay, so they're in Russia. And he's like, I wanted some shocking footage to contribute to this venture, and with my brain swimming in vodka, a plan was hatched. Pontius got naked, and I addressed the camera. Let's face it. All Wild Boys has been is an agonizing wait to see this happen. Then I lifted Pontius' wiener with my fingers and planted a kiss right on the head of his dick. So there it is, I continued, looking at the camera. Now you've seen it, so now it's over. Okay, but I'm saying, like, all he does is kiss the head of the dick.
I think this is him reflecting later, because then...
I'm like, why don't you suck
his
dick?
He avoids when they're in India and they're doing, like, a Kama Sutra lesson, which is so 90s. Yeah. And then he, like, avoids doing, like, the entire shoot because yeah, he's, like, still so embarrassed
and,
that
and
he kissed his friend's dick.
Cause, and you remember the car... I feel like... In one of the Jackass movies, when they stick the car up his ass, it's Ryan Dunn.
Yeah.
One of the most incredible like scenes in a movie. I feel like I remember seeing that in the theater. I mean, like, this is really funny. And like the doctor is just being like, How did you do this? And he, Steve-O, was like, they asked Steve-O to do that stunt. He wouldn't do it because he was like, I don't stick things up my ass, because he's being homophobic, which makes me think that he is a little bit gay.
I mean, the whole thing where he talks about how he does, like, get a blowjob from a trans woman, which he says in some other more kind of offensive language. And then it's just, he's like, no, but, like, literally, like, actually, like, she was more femme than, like, some of the other cis chicks I've, like, gotten blowjobs from. And it's like, sounds like you're...
He doesn't say cis in this book.
I was doing a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, okay, yeah. the scene where he...
I think he, like, liked it and was like, I would do that more.
Yeah, dude, a mouth is a mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, when he walks in on Chris has just fucked that girl, and then he fucks the girl, and he's like, yeah, and I got her, and she was covered in his cum, and, like, then I fucked her. And I was like, that's a level of, like, broing down that is kind of... Have you ever... I mean, I guess I know the answer to this question. You've never had a moment like that with one of your bros?
Yeah, I guess. Well, wait, but I have.
What?
Oh, where we're like both hooking up?
With the same person or something like that? Like
no.
In the same time, the same night or something?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
You've been milk sisters with someone.
Yeah. I would say I've been in the room with one of my bros while they've been
Oh, that time
sexually.
That I got a blowjob while you were there and you didn't know. Okay, because there was that one time me and friend of the pod, Daniel, did fuck cousins on the same night.
Right, but not in the same room.
No, but in bedrooms that shared a wall.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, you know, carry the two.
Daniel's gay.
Daniel's so gay.
Yeah. No, I think Steve-O in this way where he's reflecting back on things. It's like at the time, I think he was very afraid of being perceived gay. And then he's like looking back being like, no, I actually think it was cool that like we did everything but full anal sex.
You know what is funny though? How he's always calling flight attendants faggots.
Oh, yeah.
He's always completely wasted on a plane.
On the plane, the flight attendant took the bottle away from me and I made a drunken scene screaming at him and calling him a faggot. Knoxville slunk down his seat next to me, mortified. Also, another time, like, Johnny Knoxville is trying to be so the woke guy next to Steve-O, where, like, this time where Steve-O's going to have a photo shoot with, like, Terry Richardson, and Steve-O's being so, like, so there's this photographer, Terry Richardson.
He does
really sexual photo shoots, and he's like, yeah, so I think I'm going to be pointing a gun at a girl while coming in her mouth. And then Johnny Knoxville's like, absolutely not, I'm not doing that.
Wait.
Meanwhile, though...
Johnny Knoxville asked him to do the shoot. This is the thing about Knoxville. Is he's being like, yo, we're doing a bukkake shoot with Terry. Like, we're short a couple cocks. Like, you want to come through? And then he comes through. He's like, yeah, so you're just going to get head with this girl. And then some other guy's going to point a gun at her head. And Knoxville's like, I'm totally not doing this.
He's like, that's wrong.
That's totally wrong. It's like, you did literally call up your friend and ask him to participate in this shoot. But I will say, I think Knoxville is a stand-up guy.
Have you seen him on Family Feud recently? Hilarious.
I think he's
really
hilarious
fun
and
family
sweet
guy.
And like this So in this book, like later in the book, like Steve-O really gets in a bad place. He needs to be taken to like a psychiatric ward. He's like threatening to kill himself in like a
and
really
kill everyone and like emailing his dad like insane
just
things,
being psycho. And Johnny comes to his house and does the intervention and puts him in a car and like takes him to the psychiatric ward. And Johnny is just being this really kind of like, and you know, Johnny went for it on the show. He was always doing the most violent stunts, but
well,
like
I do wonder where it's like Johnny Knoxville did all those kind of same things and Steve-O just took what Johnny Knoxville did. Like, you know, he was a little more the sidekick where it's like Johnny Knoxville was crazy, but Steve-O was doing everything else times a million.
I think Johnny Knoxville is just more confident and doesn't have the same issues. This paired also with Jessica Simpson's...
No, I know, I was going to say.
Like, narrative about Johnny, which he kind of comes off pretty good in that book, too.
Yeah.
Like, where they're having this, like, emotional affair after shooting the Dukes of Hazzard, but they never consummate it. But she keeps just being like, he actually was just, like,
a
really thoughtful and a good guy and, like, made me...
Because
like,
I was
so
kind of waiting for something where he was like, no, I did feel like Johnny got all this money and this or something like that. And it's like, no. And, you know, Johnny Knoxville... Oh, I think I was like stayed also married to like the same woman. I could be wrong. Maybe they're recently divorced. Because, you know, he's bought friend of the pod, Alex's sculptures. So he loves lesbian ceramics.
Wait, that is fucking...
For his wife.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. All right, we got to move
on. We have to move on. And just before we go to segments, one insane blowjob story before we go, where he talks about how he got a blowjob from this girl and... midway through the blowjob, she took off her dentures and said, get ready to have your mind blown.
And then he tells all his friends, he was like, it wasn't a Hummer, it was a gummer.
Celebrity Book Club.
This week on the VIP Lounge, we're getting into a whole bunch of topics. Turkeys, designer clothes, wealth, going broke. And more.
To hear the whole episode, go to patreon.com/cbcthepod to subscribe. You're not going to want to miss our food reviews and our Thanksgiving preview.
Sorry, peppers are amazing.
No,
peppers are my boyfriend.
Yeah, they are. And now that I'm thinking about them, I'm like...
You like peppers now, too.
I think peppers can do so much. I guess, like, I think of peppers as being not that tasty, but the alchemy of cooking them can bring out both the saltiness and the sweetness, and you get this incredible depth of flavor.
Yes, the alchemy of cooking can bring out flavors of food. It's so crazy. It is insane. When you, like, add salt, fat, acid, heat, like, food changes.
Subscribe on patreon.com/cbcthepod to get more content like that every single week for only $5 a month.
Segment comers. What does she wear? What does she wear? How does she live?
What does he
wear? I mean, he's so thick black eyeglasses.
Well, I
like
guess what's
band-y,
what's
dark
his style
jeans.
Now? Because isn't his style now kind of like, so, is
it's
he sober?
So just like post rockabilly sober.
Sober, post rockabilly sober. So he's like, fedora.
He's not fedora. I was watching this video. Like, he just has like thick retro rockabilly glasses, like black band tee, like dark jeans Converse fans. I watched this video where he was like driving to Vegas to do something.
Do you
something.
Think he's wearing like a 3-piece suit at a formal event or no?
I think he's more just like skinny suit. I don't think he's skinny, vest
and skinny tie. Okay.
Yeah. He was like outfitting a Tesla to go like do something crazy in Vegas.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sober Tesla.
I know, it's
stuff.
Like that's so sober tatted stuff where he's like, I'm about to do a crazy trick in my Tesla.
Sober tatted Tesla.
What does she eat? Well, at some point he does go vegetarian in this book, but I think
mean,
that's
he's
done.
Very like, I will say he doesn't really talk about food a lot. I don't think he has like a very positive or negative relationship with food. I think like he's always had like a great body, I feel.
No, it's insane. And the photos when he is like in high school, he is a six pack.
He's got that just like, I'm a punk six pack.
And
where
I'm
it's like,
a skater
I'm
doing
always
so
doing
many
flips.
Tricks and flips. So it's like,
because, like, the other, I would say him and Johnny Knoxville, we have the best bodies in the whole Jackass crew. Like, Bam Margera doesn't. Like, Chris Pontius, like, has a little bit of a gut in, like, a fun, sexy way, but, like.
No, because, I mean, here's the thing. Even though they're, like, punks, like, they are being athletes. Like, it is an athletic sport.
It's an athletic sport. But he's definitely super, I just don't think he eats that much.
I think he's, like, protein. I think he's just kind of, like, chicken. You know?
Now he's being so chicken. I'm sure he does eat chicken.
It's like chicken, avocado. he's like, oh, this is a dope teriyaki poke chicken bowl.
Yeah, I guess I don't see him being so, I need to go.
I think as foodie
as he gets is probably going to a dope pizzeria. That's like very.
I'm saying he's more. It's not about being foodie, but I think he's.
I'm saying I don't think he's foodie. I'm saying as foodie as he gets, as he goes to a cool, badass pizzeria. That's like wood fired, and he's like, it's like very like he's going to the Roberta's of whatever.
But I was saying that I think he's being more like dope sauce about a random kind of Cali style. I think he's a little more tacos and pizza because it's more protein. Like, I think he's having, like, he's a little more hot sauce. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think he cares even. I don't even think he's telling his friends about, like, a
cool
taco spot.
I think he would rather cool tacos than a cool pizzeria. And I'll die on that monster on that hill.
Well, I won't die on the hill. And you are a monster on the hill, and I am a sexy baby.
I just don't think he's less dairy, you know?
There's cheese also, like, on most tacos.
Okay, most not Authentico tacos.
Like, and burritos. The point is, he's not a foodie. I think that how does he live? I'm going to say that he's not so Anthony Kiedis where he's still like plunge pool in Buddha, but like...
No, because I also still don't know like how much money he has at this point. Like, he definitely has more. I think it's like he is a little more like tech gadget. Like, I think he does like things that like happen easily, like cool, like a cool speaker. And like, I feel like he's kind of just like, oh, check out my new air fryer. Not even because he's like foodie, but again, because he's like, yeah, I can actually make like boneless sriracha wings in these in 2 minutes.
No, I don't think that he's air fryer, but
I would bet you
I'll stake
five.
My life on it that he doesn't have an air fryer.
Okay. But I'll bet you a bag of cat treats he has an air fryer.
I do think it's like a little messy, and I know this is rude. Maybe it's not. Okay, my first thought was
that he has that much stuff. Like, I think it's like he like has
yeah, you're right.
Sectional.
He doesn't have shit. He doesn't have shit. He's got like an empty house.
It's like empty house. There is a TV. There's a sound bar.
Yeah.
And like he has a Tesla. And an air fryer.
And he's had a girlfriend for the past, like, year and a half, maybe.
Yeah,
I feel
she's
like.
Younger. Excuse me.
Yeah.
The Bonito Flakes are.
Yeah, I finally finished her beer.
Ladies
and
gentlemen,
she finally finished her little bitch pussy ass beer.
I'm moving on to the man's drink. Water.
I do ultimately think
just, like,
that his bed is low.
I think his bed is absolutely
okay.
Low.
What's interesting about him is that he has a small dick, and he has a tattoo that says "I have a small wiener." But I
do. Well, that's so him again.
That's so him.
He has to do all these pranks.
I wonder what he thinks. Where it's like, because I was thinking about this when he admits to having a small dick. I'm like, what does a straight guy think is a small dick? Because straight guys like only see each other's like random flaccid dicks, and they're not like sucking so many hard dicks.
Well, then he had that comment about how like. You want to make your dick look big on TV, but not too big because
that's
if
Chris
you got
said
full,
that.
Okay, yeah, if you got fully
about,
hard.
About the kissing scene. Because he was like, if you get fully hard, it looks you like it. But like, you don't want it to look small. I kind of think that his dick is maybe not as small as he thinks it is.
I
feel
think it's
like
thick.
I don't think it's thick at all. That's what I don't think.
Thick and small.
I think it's on a normal girth, but I also think it's normal length. I think it's six and
no,
normal.
No, I think it's four. He's seen a million dicks in his life. Like dicks around him.
But he doesn't see them hard.
But
babe.
I bet
this
he's seen...
This is why I'm saying straight guys don't really have a concept of how big a hard dick is.
Yeah, but
is,
I think they're always like fucking in the same room. I think he's seen Johnny Knoxville hard. And they're showing each other photos. Like it's Johnny Knoxville being like, this is me fucking.
I don't think you can really know how big a dick is until it's in your throat.
But I feel like they're always like next to each other, like strippers deep throating.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think it's four, and I actually want to go back to the house.
It's not
I think,
four.
I think absolutely
no
think
one's
it's
dick
four.
Is four. It's 5.5.
No one's dick is four.
If your if your dick is four, you're not even talking about your dick. You don't have a book.
You don't even make a joke called "My dick is small."
I don't know. I just
and
well, this was also was interesting because I feel like gay guys basically, if you have a small dick, you don't. Ever talk about your dick like or you pretend it's big but you would never say it's small, you know what I mean? And that's why it's like I wonder if it's the same thing with straight guys. I'm just like, is it actually small?
Okay. I'm sure we can find a photo of it.
Sure we can.
Also, I think I've just said, I think his the most stuff in his room in his house is his office, because I feel like he is so like video editing. And I think there's like a Peloton in there. And I think he's Peloton.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a retarded chef. And I think he's like, have you ever fucking done like Cindy's Ride? It's actually fucking crazy. And it's crazier than all some of the shit I've done in my life.
Maybe you're right. Sober tatted chef has a Peloton. Or does he have the Peloton rowing machine?
That's too random. Why would he get the rowing machine to like flip off of?
Yeah, because it's more flippy. I just think that he's like, I don't know if he has the non-ADHD for that. Like he's.
But Peloton is so like you're going fast. Like it's a class. I've never. This is
some you're going fast. It's a class.
Quote someone who's never been on a Peloton.
God, they should put that in their new ad.
All right. Okay, who are you in the book?
Interesting. Okay, he is a Gemini, and I did kind of sometimes like identify with his absolute like mania.
But like you're also a little bit of like you're Pepsi dad. You're a little bit Pepsi dad.
I'm a little bit and older like, sister like reporter.
Yeah, who wants to be in the FBI? That's so you.
And just like begrudgingly like doing the bed sore changing. Yeah.
I don't know if you're begrudgingly bed sore changing.
No,
I think you're more FBI, like Tampa Gazette sister.
Tampa Gazette sister.
You're the Tampa Gazette sister. And I mean, I'm not Steve-O. I feel like I'm definitely like one of his like friends who's less crazy.
Less crazy friends. You're one of wait. This was also so rich.
I am? His like that girl that thinks he's so dope that like runs his email chain called like Steve's Rad Emails or something.
Yeah. You're running his email listserv into the ground. Okay, well, it was so rich when he was like, I loved my stepmom because she taught me Arabic and then I could impress my Kuwaiti friends with
wait,
it.
That's who you are. You're his Arabic stepmom, Sophia.
Who's just like being fine. There's a quote from her just being like, I like Steve.
I like Steve. He was my friend. Ted was hard on him. And I was like, oh, there's vibes. Did you guys hook up?
He's like fucking everyone in this book. But that's because he has a six pack and he's famous.
Maybe that's six.
And that's giving 5.5. All right. Listen, I give this book honestly 4 out of 5, like shopping carts full of baby shit.
I give this that are getting flown 4.0, into a pool. Honestly, 4 Tupperwares full of elephant shit out of 5 Tupperwares. It's a wild ride.
It's a wild ride. It's surprisingly literate. It's fun. You know,
it's vulnerable.
It's vulnerable.
Again, we love when a book is vulnerable. You're going to learn a lot.
He talks about other celebrities, talking about Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie.
Should we get into it? He like talks about how
Val
like
Kilmer, Henry Rollins. He's like, I hate Henry Rollins.
He apologizes to Nicole Richie. For not denying that they were dating.
Yeah, which is a little random and cucked of him. I'm like, she doesn't care, babe. She's not reading this.
I know. And he's like, she never forgave me. So Nicole, if you're out there, like, because I remember when that happened, he was like, yeah, we're dating. And then she was pissed. Yeah. So.
And then even the book, he's like, and I really struggle with whether or not I should put this in the book. And it's like, girl, yeah, it sounds like you're really hung up on this.
And that's why the house is small, because,
you know, it's,
yeah, he does need
that. That's why I don't think there's a Peloton in this small, like.
Thought you just did agree that there was a Peloton.
I'm taking it back. It's a 2-bedroom in like Santa Alameda, and I don't think there's a Peloton in there.
Okay, so there's just a random, there's a D-list Peloton.
I don't think there's an exercise machine.
You don't think he's after paying a Peloton? All right. Well, Steve and I are going to continue this conversation on the street. We're going to flip for it. Okay.
Thank you, kids. Do not try any of this at home.
Absolutely. Or freaking do. Okay. Well, send us any like videos of your tricks. We're going to be posting some more tricks online when I have a phone.
Best.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects. The show is produced by Benjamin Frisch, with editorial support from Leon Nafok, Andrew Parsons, Arlena Revelo, and Madeline Kaplan. Our production manager is Persia Verlin. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horst. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips NY. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBCThePod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review and don't forget to tell your friends. well, about us. And don't forget to go to patreon.com for access to the VIP Lounge, our exclusive bonus podcast.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.